It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
My guest this hour is Postal Inspector Diane Schrage. Diane, welcome back to Nightside. How are you?
It's Danielle, but I'm great, Dan.
Danielle, I'm so focused on Schrage. Oh, Danielle, okay. My apologies.
That's all right.
We talked last month about the uptick in assaults and robberies of postal carriers, not only here in New England, but around the country. And that is a frightening trend. Before we start, I'd like Rob to play a report that was filed by Jim McKay, WBZ News Radio, on this attack on a mail carrier. This is cut number 30, Lowell mail carrier. This is cut 37, Rob.
In Lowell on Tuesday, a postal service worker was delivering mail along their route, and that person was assaulted by an unknown suspect. It's unclear if anything was taken, and a description of the suspect was not released. The worker was treated and released for minor injuries. This is all part of a disturbing trend of attacks on postal workers, the most recent in Randolph last Wednesday. A letter carrier was robbed of their universal mailbox key, a $50,000 reward. For information on a suspect in that case is being offered up by the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. Jim McKay, WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
These robberies, and they're all with all of these robberies, there's assault as well, as far as I'm concerned. And these robberies are happening with such frequency, it's tough to straighten them out. There was a robbery on March 14th, just after 5 o'clock on Porter Street in Lowell. And a juvenile today apparently was arrested on that robbery. The juvenile was charged with juvenile delinquency, to wit, assault and battery by a dangerous weapon, a machete, assault with a dangerous weapon, an airsoft rifle, being in a motor vehicle, simple assault, 2 counts, resisting arrest and disorderly conduct. The postal carrier was transported to a local hospital for treatment of his injuries. You, as a postal inspector, are seeing a lot of this. What has caused this uptick of robberies, not only here in New England, but around the country? There have been, you know, dozens and dozens of these attacks. What is going on, Danielle? And do you see it any differently since we talked last month?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We are seeing a definite increase in this type of activity. Again, I don't ever speculate why criminals do what they do, and especially in this case where, you know, they're attacking civil servants who are out every day delivering mail and goods to everybody. I mean, postal carriers are beloved in every neighborhood that they deliver to. But we definitely take these as the highest priority. And I think that's reflected, especially recently with the arrests that have been made and the several assaults on carriers. I think this shows, at least for us as, you know, postal inspectors, this is our highest priority. We give this the most attention. And we take it very personally when someone, you know, attempts to assault or, you know, does assault one of our employees.
Now, recently, there was a case in federal court in which a Boston man charged in connection with a January 4th armed robbery of a U.S. Mm-hmm. postal letter carrier. This individual, his name is Anthony Diaz. He's 20 years old. He faces a series of charges here. And he apparently, on January 4th in Peabody, walks up to a postal carrier and says, "Give me the keys." He points a semi-automatic pistol at the letter carrier. This is according to a news release out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston. Because this is federal crime. So the victim gives him the vehicle key, but then the Diaz allegedly says, "Give me the rest of the keys and hurry up or I'll shoot you." The victim removes his keychain, which was attached to his belt containing his USPS arrow key, and asked if he could have his vehicle back. So this guy did not respond. He turned, placing the firearm in his right jacket pocket, and walked directly to a car that was parked on Memorial Drive. And this is frightening. I mean, you go to work, you're a mail carrier. I love seeing my mailman. This guy, who Diaz, charged with assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees, provides a sentence of up to 20 years in prison. So these are serious, serious crimes. Are there criminals out there, or would-be criticals, who think that if they can steal a set of keys, that gets them into every blue mailbox on the street? That is not the way it works, as I understand it.
No, you're right. You know, we always want to warn people, the keys that our carriers carry are not, as people say, universal keys. Clearly, they are keys that open up some things. I'm not going to elaborate what they do.
Of course not. Of course
but
not.
It is erroneous to say that they are skeleton keys or universal keys. That would work, all over the place. That's just simply not true.
It's unbelievable. My guest is Danielle Schroege. She is a postal inspector. She was with us last month, but this situation is continuing. And look, postal letter carriers are amongst the nicest people in the world. Their job is to deliver, in many cases, good news to people. And they bring the bills and all of that, but you got to pay the bills in order to keep the lights on. We know that. And I just think it's... I think it's reprehensible that some postal carrier who is alone on a street, walking up a driveway, down a driveway, down a set of stairs, is confronted by people with a gun, or in one case here, a machete. And people, I don't know what you're thinking out there, but this has got to stop. Danielle, we're going to open up the phone lines. I also want to talk, again, caution people about... what's called check washing. I want people to understand that that is a real thing and a real deal, and it's one of the impetuses that some of these criminals, and they are criminals, are engaged in. We'll get to all of that with my guest, Danielle Schroege. Please feel free to join the conversation, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, 617-931-1030. If you have any questions, Danielle is going to provide us with some suggestions. I talked with a good friend of mine tonight, pretty smart guy, happens to be a judge, and we were talking about this. He asked me what's on the show tonight, and I was explaining that you're going to be on, and I explained to him how, and he told me the same thing, that he no longer puts any piece of mail that contains a check in a stationary street mailbox, takes them all to his post office, as I do. And I want people to understand why we both do that. And Danielle, you'll be able to explain. And we will continue with our conversation. Feel free to join this conversation. This is important because if you've ever been the victim of what's called check washing, you will understand why that's important. We'll get to all of it. I promise you have the numbers. Let's light the phone lines up. We'll be back with Danielle Schroege right after this.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
We're talking about attacks, assaults, and robberies of U.S. letter carriers, and this has to stop. My guest is Danielle Schroege, U.S. Postal Inspector. Danielle, why is it important for people who still pay their bills with checks, like I do, that we take those checks and take them to the post office and have them mail them inside a post office building and not put them in a blue postal box on the street corner?
Yeah, it's simply just a really good measure that you can do to make sure that your checks aren't vulnerable. Taking them right inside the post office and just dropping it inside is actually the best thing, because then you know that it's not sitting vulnerable. You know it's right into the mail stream. It's been deposited, and it can give you a little bit of a peace of mind.
And when we talk about check washing, if some of these criminals somehow are able to steal some mail out of one of the big blue postal mailboxes. Mm-hmm. And they do have some ways in which they're able to do this. They can then take your check, which maybe you're paying an electric bill or a gas bill or a home heating oil bill, and they can literally, with chemicals, wash that check and then change the name of the payee on the check, the person who can cash the check, to themselves or to a friend of theirs, and they also can change the amount of money. How long has this... Because I think there's a lot of people who don't realize this is going on. Has this been a new development, Danielle, in your experience, or has this been around for a while and we're just really catching up with it?
You know, I think check washing has been around in some fashion or form since the invention of checks, right? Criminals are cunning, if nothing, and, you know, but you said it very right, right? You know, trends kind of come and go, they ebb and flow, and this particular trend once was a hot thing and then kind of went away with the advent of the internet, where, you know, then cybercrime became kind of the fashion of the day. And now, for whatever reason, again, criminals are back to kind of the original crimes of check washing. So again, it's nothing new. It definitely seems new, though, and it's definitely something, you know, the people of recent memory might not remember from long ago.
So it's not as if, just so that people understand it, and again, I don't want you to give away secrets, but it's not as if somebody has taken an old number two rubber eraser and erased something on your check, and of course, in the process, probably destroyed the integrity of the check. They actually use chemicals which simply eradicate the person to whom you have indicated on the check you want to be paid and the amount of money that you owe that person or that individual, and the check is not damaged, the check is not marred,
right.
It then is up to the criminal to write in and make your check payable to whomever the criminal wants, in whatever amount of money the criminal wants to bestow upon themselves or someone else. Am I accurate?
Correct. The check, it renders the check the same way it would look as you ripped it out of your checkbook. So
right.
Any of the ink that, you know, it came printed on, it will still be there. But all of, like you said, all of the ink or all the write-in portions that you've done would disappear after the washing and the chemical solution that they use.
It's unbelievable. And the integrity, the background of the check, where you have written in, you know, paying $200 or whatever to the cable company or to your to your gas company or your electric company, that ink is lifted and disappears. And then the check, other than that, as you said, looks as if it's just ripped out. Let's get at least one phone call in here. Let me go to Brian in Wilmington. Brian, welcome. You're first this hour on Nightside with my guest, Danielle Scroggy of the U.S. Postal Service. She's a U.S. Postal Inspector. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Dan, Danielle. Thanks for taking my call. I know you're talking about the check washing. Can I actually go back to the letter carriers first?
Sure, absolutely.
The first thing I thought of, I mean, I'm glad you're talking about the topic, because I had no idea it was really that bad out there, and it seems like it's pretty widespread, so it is sad. But I was thinking, I mean, it's maybe one potential solution, it's not the solution, but was there ever any sort of talk or idea to maybe have the letter carriers have some sort of, like, non-lethal, like, defense mechanism protection? Like,
you mean like mace or something like that?
Well, I was actually thinking along the lines of, like, say, a taser.
Okay.
Again, it's sort of like, it might be, you know, you don't really want to fight crime with something that's, you know, potentially, you know, going to agitate the situation. But I said, you know, maybe something non-lethal like that.
Let's see what Daniel says about that. The problem with the taser is if you lose control of the taser and the bad guy gets the taser, now you're going to get tased.
Right. I know,
right.
I know.
Go ahead, Danielle.
Yeah. So, again, I don't know if people realize this, but I am a sworn law enforcement officer. I carry a firearm on my hip every day, as do all of my colleagues. So I think that sometimes people realize or don't realize that what postal inspectors actually are. So as somebody who trains frequently in defensive tactics and firearms and those things, I obviously am very aware that, you know, if you show up to the fight with a gun, you have brought the gun to the gunfight. or in this case, the taser. And I think, like you said, you know, we want to be very careful about, you know, trying to arm anybody just across for that reason alone. And I, again, to your point, I realize that one attack is, you know, in my opinion, one attack too many. But we do have to put a little bit of this stuff into perspective. And, you know, we have, you know, still overall postal robberies and assaults are exceedingly rare considering the number of daily contacts our employees, our carriers have with the public. We've got, you know, 163 million delivery points. I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me when I think about it. There is a government person who goes to 163 million points in this country every single day. That's just, you know, again, and we have over 31,000 post offices. And, you know, the most recent statistics I have are from 2021. And there were 253 robberies or attempted robberies of postal employees and or post offices. So just given those numbers compared to how many delivery points, again, one attack is one attack too many. But obviously there are sometimes isolated spikes in the number of robberies in a particular area. I think, again, we're seeing this kind of nationally across the board. But one of the best things that I tell people, if you really want to help your carriers in your street, and I think, you know, your carriers, you talk to them and they'll say it too, you know, if you see something weird, be an ally to them. You know, call 911 if you see anything, if someone's following your carrier or anything. And our carriers are trained as well to be on the lookout for these things as well. We do talks with them, and they are, you know, they talk with their managers and their supervisors about how to keep themselves safe out there. But again, you know, just be a good witness, be a good community member, and just keep an eye out on your carriers. And again, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And I really appreciate the feedback. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Danielle. Well, have a good night.
I appreciate you taking the time to call. Danielle, I so appreciate you have a long day, and I so appreciate you having joined us for this half hour. I know that you're going to get ready for tomorrow. Please keep us in posted on this. This arrest that came down today up in on the Lowell incident actually broke this afternoon since we talked earlier in the day.
Yeah, they just want to give a shout out to the Lowell PD. They were really incredibly easy and helpful, and you know, they did a great job, and we really appreciate all of the help. And again, I think, you know, before I leave, I just want to point out, you know, arrests are being made for these assaults. So I would caution any would-be criminal to think about that. Again, you know, postal inspectors are not notorious for catching their bad guys. So if that is any deterrent, I want to make sure that reaches the ears of any would-be criminal that would target our employees.
Yeah, and I hope, particularly when these individuals find themselves in federal court, I would hope that our federal judges snap down on them pretty hard. I mean, we see all the time so many people who are frequent flyers in state courts, and you find out that they've been arraigned 10, 15, 20 times for various crimes, have been given breaks, you know, suspended sentences, continuances without a finding, which in many cases are good and can help get people back on track, but in some cases get abused, and then eventually that individual commits a serious crime. I would say anybody who's messing around stealing from United States postal letter carriers, you are messing with, I think, the backbone of the country. And when you talk about the number of postal carriers who are out there every day delivering mail, important mail, emotional mail, it's incredible what they can accomplish. And let's keep our eyes open for them. If you see something going on, and you can intervene or call 911 as quickly as you can, let's follow that practice. And mailmen or mail women or letter carriers, whatever the appropriate characterization is these days.
Letter carriers, yep.
They are providing a great service to all of us. I so look forward to getting the mail every day. It's a part of all of our day. And it's important. It's really what keeps the country going in so many respects. Danielle, thank you very much for having been with us tonight, and we'll keep posted. Okay.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Danielle Scroggie. who is a U.S. Postal Inspector. Now, I would like to talk to you folks, and I have wide open lines here. Have you ever been the victim of any sort of this mail fraud? Feel free. Join the conversation. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I will share some information as to what's going on, about how this is being accomplished, and also share some tips, but I'd like to hear from you guys. Join the conversation. Also, 617-931-1030. Back on Nightside right after this.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
So we're talking about an uptick in attacks on U.S. mail carriers, postal carriers. These are the individuals who bring to our doorstep, to our mailbox, to our home, our apartment, every day, or at least 6 days a week, letters of importance. Again, letters that are of critical importance, and critical importance, by the way, to the U.S. economy. Again, this was a report that, a different report that Jim McKay filed on Wednesday, yesterday. This is Cut 36, Rob.
The latest incident is out of Lowell. Took place on Tuesday in the middle of snow falling from this week's nor'easter. A worker delivering mail was attacked, only suffering minor injuries. It remains under investigation. But this is the fourth serious attack on a postal worker since December in the Commonwealth, including last week's robbery of a letter carrier in Randolph, where a universal mailbox key was stolen. A $50,000 reward being offered for anyone who has information in that case. Jim McKay, WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Yeah, just to make a couple of points, this attack occurred about 48 hours ago in Lowell on Porter Street, just after 5:30. So just a little more than 48 hours ago. And this is a juvenile. Juvenile mail has been arrested, okay, in connection with the assault of a U.S. Postal Service letter carrier. The victim advised officers that he located the suspect in his mail truck as he returned to it following delivery. The suspect allegedly pointed an airsoft rifle at the victim. As the victim attempted to defend himself, the suspect allegedly retrieved a machete from his waistband and slashed at the victim before fleeing the scene on foot. Now, this... Can you imagine? I mean, this is, you're going back to your mail truck, and that's what you have to face. And the reason this is happening is primarily, and by the way, there is, for those of you out there, there is no such thing as a universal key to the blue mailboxes. There's two types of mailboxes. The one with the pull-down handle, in which some victims literally, under the cover of darkness, can reach down with their hands and grab mail, or there are other ways in which they can get mail out of that mailbox. Now, there are some mailboxes which are now slot mailboxes. Those are how every mailbox should be, but the post office is going to take some time to replace them. Let me get to Richard in Virginia, and I invite other callers, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I think this is a really important story. Richard in Virginia. Richard, next on Nightside.
Hello.
Checking in. Hi, Richard. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dan, I didn't know about the attacks up there in Massachusetts. But
you had some down there, too. Trust me.
No. I was calling about the check washing.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, you go right ahead.
Yeah. What a friend of mine had around here is what they were doing is they were sending these young guys out at night and rummaging through people's mailboxes at night.
Okay.
To find checks written to businesses. And we... think it's gang related, but
okay, when you say rummaging through people's mailboxes at night, explain that to me.
Yeah, well, that's in residential neighborhoods where you have a mailbox out on the street.
Yeah, right. So what you're saying is someone has put their mail in one of those big blue mailboxes, right?
No, just in their own residential mailbox.
Oh, so now you're talking about, okay, that's another type. You're right. So you
right.
have a mailbox. You have a mailbox at the end of your driveway, and
right.
and what you can do is if you want to, before you go to bed at night, you put your letters in the mailbox, and sometimes I think you kind of take the flag and you put the flag up a little red flag in many cases. And the next day when the mail, when the letter carrier delivers your mail, he or she takes out the mail that you want, and then, of course, puts in the mail for you that day. But, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. That's even apparently easier. They're doing this. My one friend wrote, this is almost 2 years ago now, and this has happened in other places, wrote a check for $300 or something for a boat repair. Mm-hmm. It ended up getting cashed in Florida for $3,000 or something like that.
He was lucky it was only that. I have a friend of mine who wrote a check, relatively small check for like a couple of $100s. I'm not exactly sure, but it was to a small business. He had put his mail in one of those regular blue boxes, those mailboxes with the pull down, you know, where you drop it. And what the criminals are doing is, as I understand it, and I have this from pretty good sources, they will take, let us say, a 2 liter Coca-Cola bottle or a 2 liter any sort of soft drink bottle. They will tie a rope around it, and they will plaster crazy glue on it, or some sort of Elmer's glue. They then will, in the middle of night, drop the big jug, with which now is smothered with glue or paste, and basically go fishing in the mailbox.
Gosh, okay.
And then pull the, because it's on a string, just or a little rope, pull it up, and they might have 10 or 12 letters. And if a couple of them have checks, they're in business. And if they're not, they'll just take and throw that other mail away. So you send a letter to your grandmother in California, to wish her a happy birthday, and her letter gets thrown away. You send $200 to the to the phone company or to the electric company, and they then wash that check. A friend of mine, it was for $47,000 that the check had been increased from $200 to that amount of money. Because the amount of money was so crazy large, the bank actually sensed that there was a problem, called my friend and said, did you write a check for, whatever it was, 47? It was an odd number, like $47,565.20 to someone. And again, he said, what are you talking about? And he said, what's the check number? And they said, well, it's check number whatever, 131. He looked in his check ledger and said, that was a $200 check to, Joe's Fix-It Repair Shop.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. And apparently my friend got a call from the Secret Service, of all things.
Sure, yeah.
But whatever, here's what we're doing is, when we're going to write checks, we go up, we either deposit them in the post office, or we put them out where we can see our mailbox. We put them out in the morning. We don't put them out at night.
Well, let me ask you, once you put them out in the morning, how early does your letter carrier come by? And is it like clockwork? I mean, I have days when my letter carrier drops the mail at 10 o'clock, and I have other days, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think what it comes down to is, if it's the regular letter carrier, I get it early. If that's a day when he is out sick or has taken a vacation day, his route gets picked up later in the day, and everybody kind of splits up the route. So there are days when mail might sit.
I'm working at home these days, so I'm here most of the day and all that. But if that was the case and everybody was out, we would probably just hold it and drop it off at the post
take the bills that have checks in them. Put them out every day, let them build up, and then towards the end of the week or Saturday, go down and put them in the post office. Simple as that.
Well, that's what I would advise people to do, is don't leave mail with checks in it, out in your post box.
All right, Richard, I appreciate your call. Thank you much, my friend.
Okay.
We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. Sure thing,
Dan. Good night.
Bye.
We're going to take a quick break. I got some lines open, 617-254-1030. Last night, you couldn't get through here in any of the 4 hours. And tonight, I don't know, maybe the topics are not as compelling, but I think it's a really compelling topic. If you ever end up, it's a form of stolen identity when you think that your own check could be could be stolen and then cashed by someone else, it's not a good experience. So any tips you have, if you've had this happen to you, join the conversation. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, 617-931-1030. We will wrap this by 10. I guarantee you that, unless these phone lines light up big time in the next 2 minutes. And if they do light up big time, you guys can decide whether you want to continue to converse about this in the 10 o'clock hour. Other than that, we're going to start talking again about some of this Russian activity in Ukraine, the downing of the drone yesterday, Polish fighter jets now in Ukraine. This could there's some interesting developments. We will talk about this, but in the meantime, give us a call. Let's talk. I want you to be aware. I don't want anyone in Nightside. I don't want anyone, but I don't want anyone who listens to Nightside to be duped in this way, and to lose money, and to have your life turned upside down just because someone out there is trying to rip you off. Coming back on Nightside.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
All right, let's keep rolling here. Going to go to Michael in Boston. Michael, next on Nightside. Go right ahead.
How you doing? Yeah, Dan, how you doing? I, that lady, Danielle, she was on the ball. They had this check-washing show on TV about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Like before 60 Minutes, and they washed the checks. Now, I figured, this. She said, just like she said, now they were into the internet stuff and all that baloney. Now they're going backwards.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. But the point, these guys are the real deal. But the point, I mean, the postal inspectors. But the point is, I'm thinking they got to get, when you walk in with a check, okay, you're going to be on camera. Okay, I'm not blaming, I'm not saying how to do it. It's just what I think I'm trying to think in my head is when they walk into the bank, and especially the guy walking on a check for $47,000, he has to be like an amateur waiting to go back to prison.
Think about it for a second. Just hold on for a second, Michael.
I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry.
No. This was during COVID. What were people doing during COVID? You could walk into a bank wearing a hat, dark glasses, and a mask.
I didn't know that was the case.
What I'm suggesting is, I think that's why this has picked up in popularity. I think that for a while it was easy to do a lot of these ripoffs on the internet, and then the internet tightened up a little bit, and COVID came along, and all of a sudden you could walk into a bank and wearing a mask, and nobody would look at you.
Well, now they got signs in some businesses in New York, whatever, saying don't wear a mask.
Because COVID has abated and all of that.
Right.
Yeah, but
the
criminals are pretty smart. They adapt, circumstances.
The point I'm trying to make is, Dan, I'm guessing the inspectors are doing this. They're covering all angles: the back, the front, the end. I don't want to sound like I'm crazy. When you go in with a check and you don't have a mask on, and you're going to have an ID, you're going to do this, but some place even when you put your fingerprints, the bottom line is they should probably investigate as if one place, like a lottery ticket, that's cash and checks to avoid a 10% takeoff from where the 10% is. They got to investigate maybe what is one place cashing all these checks. Is
No. This was at a bank. That could be true. That could, you know, they'll smart enough. They'll figure that one out. Michael, I got to get a couple more in before the break. So
all right.
We will talk again. Thank you, my friend.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you much. Donna is in Rhode Island. Donna in Rhode Island. How are you tonight? Welcome.
I'm well. Good evening.
Hi, Donna.
It happened to my husband and I with the check washing, and okay. It was just on the onset of COVID, now that you're mentioning it, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And what happened was this. We have, at the time, National Grid. Today, it's Rhode Island Energy.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, over 20 years, we've been paying them, same location, same single-family residence, for our oil and our, I mean, not our oil,
yeah.
For our electric and gas.
Okay.
1 month, one of the mailed bills that did go into open the drawer and drop the mail,
yep.
At a drive-through. Somebody might have taking a sticky at the end of a poker stick or something.
Yes,
they took the check, got the envelope, only one of the two, so maybe that's why we think that happened. We never got the answers. Took the bank over 6 months to resolve. What they did, they took our check. It was for 53 and change. For some reason, they whitewashed it. They made it out again in different handwriting to the same exact National Grid. Signed my husband's name on the back of the check for whatever reason. Re-signed his name. Rewrote, took that $53 to $1,900. And paid National Grid their probably past due amount. Who knows? But the bank, no one could give us any answers, and it took that long for them to even, you know, make us whole, and it went from 53 to 1900. So yeah, you're in a pickle now. So we, you know, we're in the, we have habit. We pay our check. We pay our bills by check every month. I'm not crazy about paying them online. That's just the way our life goes.
Yeah, I do. Now we're I do like the idea as well. I really do. But again, you're a smart lady. I'm sure you and your husband are pretty sharp. You never let that happen to you again. I assume you take your checks to the post office now.
You got it.
All right, thanks, Dawn.
Yeah, you got it. You're right on. You're pretty smart yourself, Dan. Good listening. Hey, good show.
Thank you for listening tonight, sir. I look forward to your next call, okay? Thank you.
Okay, good day. Bye.
You too. Brenda is in Newton. Brenda, you're going to wrap us up here. Go right ahead, Brenda.
Hi there, Dan. I actually called last month regarding I have a small business in Newton.
Yep.
And six of our checks got stolen out of the mailbox.
Yep.
And I just take, first of all, these days you do not have to go actually physically go into a bank. There are bank apps, so nobody even has to see you, for one thing.
Yeah.
So the mask and the pandemic, this happened a year ago. It was mailed right out outside the Newton Center mailbox. It was a slit, so nobody could have used the glue. There were no robberies or anything at that time. So I just think a lot of this just isn't making a lot of sense.
Well,
there's got to be another avenue.
Yeah, no,
there has to be.
It's happening.
I mean, I'm just thinking there are a lot of keys out there.
Well, the problem is it's not as if they have universal keys, to be honest with you. That's what I thought, too. But, you know, they apparently they don't have the universal key situation that that would be crazy, because once you got the universal key, you could go into every big blue mailbox. Yeah. Now that would not be a good idea.
Well,
that's for sure. All right, Brenda, I'm glad that you are safe and sound with your company, and that everything is working out fine. So, and thanks again for calling. Okay.
Thank you. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. All right. Coming up, 10 o'clock news. On the other side, there are some developments in the Ukraine-Russian war, which, frankly, are troubling, in a word. Troubling. Back on Nightside right after this.